your Bibles tonight. We're going to start in the book of Psalms. Where's Brother Warren?
He's skipping out. Is he goofing off? What are you guys doing out there? Come to church.
I don't know if I can preach tonight without Ben Warren here. He helped us out last week with a big word. I asked him. First of all, how many of you can remember the word from last week? We have one, two. Oh, you can. Oh, okay, hold on. I want to hear Nelson pronounce it just for fun. Well, that's the big word. That's the doctrine of propitiation, but it enables God to be what? Propitious. Hey, there you go. Hey, good for you. Yes, well done, young man. Tonight we're going to deal with the doctrine of imputation. Imputation. If you feel like you're going to Bible school, you should. And Mrs. Hay is thinking, this sounds painful. This sounds painful. How in the world do you take propitiation and imputation and make that so that... A fourth grader can understand. We're going to try to do that this evening. We're in Psalm 32, verse 1, and the scripture says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." That's heavy doctrinal stuff. So let's read that together, those two verses. Are you ready? Reading with me. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." That's a great Bible concept. It is not preached on often. We're going to try to help you to understand that, and we're going to add that to the doctrine of propitiation, which allows God, as Xavier told us, to be propitious. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you help me this evening as we do some illustration and some singing to help drive home a wonderful Bible truth, a great doctrine of the Scripture that should not be foreign to us. Father, we are in a church where we don't believe we need to dumb down the words. We are not afraid to learn new words, and this is not a new concept, but may we understand what it is and how it works and how it affects us and how it is how it affects others so that we can be better soul winners for the cause of Christ. Well, thank you for what you do tonight. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. My dad is 95 years old. He has a wonderful Bible mind. He has spent his lifetime studying God's Word, and at 95, he still challenges me to study God's Word. But he is at that stage in his life where he is not buying books. He is giving them away. And so when I was with him a few months ago, back June-ish, May, June, he gave me his Bible college set of Bible theology books, systematic theology. And the author is Schaefer, Schaefer's Theology of the Bible. And so I have those. Dad was in Bible college in 1948. As far as I know, he is the only one of 15 brothers and sisters that went to school and completed it. And so I wouldn't recommend. He went to Detroit Bible College. Detroit Bible College in name doesn't exist today for a lot of reasons. I think it's Detroit Theological Seminary now. But they have well long drifted from God's Word. Schaefer, I don't know if I was buying a systematic theology book that I would buy Schaefer today, but I have the set, and so for imputation, I looked it up. It's good to get a book out and read it once in a while. So here's what Schaefer says about imputation. Are you ready? The Bible doctrine of imputation transcends all other themes concerning the Christian. Now, that's a pretty amazing statement right there. So the doctrine that we're dealing with tonight, imputation, you may not know what it means, but this doctrine transcends all others. That's a pretty impressive statement when it concerns a Christian. And because it has no comparison in the things of this world, it is not easily comprehended. And that is the first line of my outline this evening, and looking at that and thinking, now I have to take that doctrine, which has no earthly comparison, and help you to understand it. It's going to be interesting. We'll see. Imputation. God's accounts righteousness to the believer that is in Christ, made possible because Jesus Christ bore our sins on Calvary's cross. Webster's 828 dictionary says it is the act of imputing or charging, attributing, and it is generally used in a bad sense. So in the case of Christ, our sin, when you trusted Christ, was placed upon Jesus Christ. Generally, it has a negative sense of the word. Turn with me. So we've read this. Blessed is a man unto whom, and if you're a person here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not going to, God is not going to impute sin unto you. And that's a good thing. It's what it says. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Brother Welly, I just lost a young man from the service. Would you make sure that he finds his way? We're in Romans chapter 5, verse 19. The Scripture says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinner, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Read that verse with me. We're in Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Ready? Let's read. "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Of course, that is referring to Adam. Adam's sin, that sin nature has been passed down to us. And here we are today. We are sinners. I talked to you about sin. The average driver, a million miles, 17 summonsable violations for every mile he drives. That's 17 million sins in your lifetime just from your driving record, right? Okay. So Adam's sin. And because of that, that sin, when you were born, that sin is imputed upon you. When you sin, you carry the weight, the load of your sin. Now we're going to let tonight this penny, I have two, one for each side. Don't steal them because I have to give them back to the owners. I have no money. I had to borrow both of these tonight. I want everybody to touch this and to look at it. It's a penny. It's a real penny. Just don't keep it. And then pass it around the room. Timothy, we'll start with you. You got that? You're holding it? Not very significant. Carry that around okay? Yeah, not a big deal. Okay, all right. So Mr. Kilgore, here you go, and then just keep passing it around. When it gets to the back, raise your hand, and I'll come retrieve the penny, because we're going to need those in just a few minutes. What sins are we accountable for? So here we go. I'm not going to bring the microphone around. And I don't think the people on Zoom are going to need it. I'll try to repeat them as you shout them out. Name some sins that we are accountable for. So raise your hand. Deb. Lying. Liars are friars. You've heard that, right? Okay. Okay, someone else. Is that the only one? Other sins we are accountable for. Nadia?
Cheating.
Bob from Kentucky even knows what sin is. Pride. Now, that's on my list, actually. Good for you. Okay, Sister Robin. Oh, yes, you absolutely. Thou shalt not kill. That's one of the big ten. Xavier. Okay.
What did he say?
Disobedience. Can I get an amen from all the parents here tonight? Amen. Yeah, disobedience. Disobedience to mom and dad, disobedience to your heavenly father. That's a good thing. Yes, Karen.
Coveting.
Thou shalt not covet. A neighbor's wife, his manservant, your maidservant. Why? Because we have a tendency to covet his house and his car and his occupation and all kinds of things. Brother Arceval, did I see your hand? Brother Duane, did I see your hand? No. No. Brother Arceval threw you under the bus. Yes. Oh, that would never happen in church. Gossip, right? Talk. Oh, did I see another hand? Yes.
Envy.
Timothy, do you have your hand up?
Yes, sir. Selfishness.
Selfishness. All these things. All these little individual pennies. By themselves, you think this is no big deal. And that's Satan's lie. It's not a big deal. They're in the Garden of Eden, and Satan said to Eve, hey, God's just trying to keep you from having fun, enjoy life. And so she took that little penny. But could she bear the load of it? No, she could not. By itself, we think, the Satan wants us to think it's nothing. But it's huge. It is huge. And without Christ. So here's a few more. Weakness, a lack of faith. We talked about that this morning. Surprised nobody said whining, no more whining, right, from this morning. Rashness, not trusting God, getting ahead of God. All those things are sin. So what do you think is the weight of 10,000 sins? What do you think is the weight? So I need, if you are under, let's start with under 12 years of age, and you would like to try to lift the weight of 10,000 sins. Okay, come on up. Nobody else? Nobody other takers? No, you want to try to wait? Seriously? I thought you might like to do that. No? No? Okay. All right. Just you. You're the only one. You're the only brave one. Okay, so open up the door that's in there, on the floor. Yep. Yeah, that's it. Right. Okay, let's move this out of the way. Lift that bad boy up and just bring it out here. Yep. Okay. So, that's not a big deal, is it? But in here, I'm going to attach this to it. Is 10,000 pennies. That's all it is. And you hold one penny in your hand, you think that's not a big deal. I'm just here to tell you, this is a big deal. Let's get the Magdalis guys up here. They got some adults in here. Come on, guys. You can sit down. Thank you, Landon. This is Landon, my favorite oldest grandson, here visiting from Kingstown, Kingsport, Tennessee. Okay, so lift it and tell me what you guys think. Come on, Landon lifted it. Yeah, not a big deal. Not a big deal. Okay, go ahead. He did it once, you got to do it twice. He did it twice. You got to do it three times. No, go sit down. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it. Yeah, just let it flop. The weight of 10,000 sins. Is that possible? So you think, how old are you, Landon? 10. So I thought about a 10-year-old. Just interesting. It's in my notes. 10 years, 365 days a year. So you have lived 3,650 days, is that right? Got to check with my mathematician here. It should be easy. 365 times 10 years, It just carried over one. I should be right, right? Okay. So if you sin 10 times a day, do you think you probably do that? Your dad says, Landon, get up. Do you get up right away? Yeah, that's. I'll take that as a no. When he says, I know this one. I was working on a project on Friday night, and I stepped in the house, and I said, Miss Bishop? She didn't answer. Landon? And he goes, what? Now, he's downstairs. That is not what I'm looking for. And so I called again, Landon? And he goes, what? And so I called a third time and said, Landon? And he went, what? Okay, so there was four right there, right? Okay, granddad called and he didn't come. So if you do 10 of those a day, you think a 10-year-old is not affected by this? That's 36,000. This is only a measly 10. So times this by 3 and you're not getting it off the ground. That's how heavy the weight of 10,000 pennies is, 10,000 little sins. Where are my pennies? Hey, they can't, you're done. Okay. Watch this. Easy, right? Easy? Oh, I'm going to bring you guys back up here. Be careful. You're not going to carry it for very long before you try to lighten that load. And again, a 10-year-old, 3 times the weight of that bag. That's just on average. Just on average. So, Landon, come on back up here. So, have a seat. Come up one more. I'm not trying to break your shoulders. Okay, put one arm in here. Okay, put the other arm in there. Okay, can you stand? Hold on to the rail. Hold on to the rail. Okay, hold on to the rail. You're scaring me. Down one. Don't twist your ankle. Down another one. Okay, walk around the room one time. A 10-year-old carrying the weight of 10,000 sins. You carry that for the rest of your life. You want to do that? Okay. Oh, you did it. Wonderful. That's good. Now you only got 70 years to go to catch up to me. Okay, stay right there. Don't move. Don't move because you're not done. You are not done. He needs help. He needs somebody to carry the weight of his sin. In his shape right now, that is bad news. That is bad news. Because he, without Christ, that sin and the sins of his entire life, the time you get to be my age, we're talking millions and millions and millions and millions of sin. You cannot possibly carry the weight of that load. You can barely carry the weight of 1/3 of a load of a 10-year-old would be carrying. So when you go out and soul winning and you talk to somebody about sin and you look at that person in that big fancy house and you think that person doesn't need Christ, that person is under the load of millions of sins. And it's all that they can do many times to get up in the morning and walk through life and put on a happy face because that load is so heavy. They need somebody to take that load. And I'm happy to report to you, we have that someone. In Christ, those who are in Christ are no longer liable. So I needed somebody to be God tonight. And so that is going to be Jason. Sorry, guys. I think Jason is the strongest guy in the room. I just think he is. So we were on a work project, probably a year ago. And here's the difference between Jason and I. Jason is a beast. I mean, he is strong. He is strong. I think I am a beast. But I'm not, yeah. So we're downstairs on a work project, and we're above our heads, and I got a sledgehammer, and I think, at my advanced age of decomposition, that I am the strongest guy in the room. So this guy is standing there. I'm sure he's just shaking his head and saying, "Old man, give me the sledgehammer." And I am. We got a beam. It's above our head. You remember, Brother Ray. And we're trying to beat that beam in the place. And after five swings of the sledgehammer, I was done. And so I said, "Brother Jason, you take a swing at it." And he takes that sledgehammer and he goes, poof, and the thing goes, poof. So I call him Sledge now. So he's going to be God. And he is willing to carry this load. Are you willing to allow him to do that?
Yeah.
See, and that's the question. He absolutely is, because he knows the load is too much to bear. I cannot possibly bear this burden alone. Sadly, Christians, oftentimes we try to carry those burdens alone rather than giving them over to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's some scripture tonight. What we're going to do, what imputation is a judicial transfer of the load of sin to the Savior. And so here's several scriptures. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for, that's my sin, for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. John 1:29. John talks about imputation. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." What is that? That's the doctrine of imputation. Here's another one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes," referring to Isaiah 53, "by whose stripes we are healed. For ye were as sheep," again referencing Isaiah 53, "going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." Here's another one. 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit." Land in sin, imputed, placed upon, transferred to Christ. And that's what happened on the cross. But in order for that to happen in your life, you have to freely say, "Do you want to give up that sin?" "Okay. No, not yet. Not yet. I got to lead you there first. Man, this guy's ready to give it up. Why? Because he realizes I cannot possibly bear it. Here's where we make a mistake as sinners, as soul winners. We go to the sinner who is under the weight of sin, and we minimize the load. Don't minimize the load. Person says, "Well, I'm not that bad of a person." You are a terrible person. They are carrying a terrible load. And they've got to be willing to give that up. Would you agree with me that anybody in their right mind, thinking clearly through this, would freely and willingly and quickly give it up? Landon, would you agree with that? Yeah, okay. Okay, he's still ready. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth it, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and he died for all, and they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Because Christ has taken, that sin load has been imputed upon Christ. Thus God is not going to impute, remember Psalm 32, blessed is a man whom the Lord doth not impute. And Landon is going to be blessed when he gives that load to Christ. And so we should, in gratefulness, live not unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 1 John 2, 2. And he is the propitiation, right, last week, for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so Christ takes that load, allowing God to be... Nelson, what's the word? Nelson, that's the doctrine. Propitious, thank you. You're as bad as Ben back there daydreaming. Transferring that load to a big God. Landon, you recognize you're carrying a weight of load of sin. Yes, that's a big load. That's a lot of weight. You want to try to stand up again under that? Would you like to give that? Would you like to give that up? That'd be light. Well, the Lord is going to take the weight of those 10,000 sins, and he's going to bear them on his own body. Hold on. Oh, you need a bigger strap. We have a big God. Oh, just carry it. Okay. You're making the message too long. Go. There you go. See you guys. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not sin. He's carrying the load. All right, Landon, come on back. You can keep on going. Keep the load. We don't want it back. We are on to another. So that's the negative view of imputation. You're carrying a load of your sin. Here's the positive view. Imputation can be viewed negatively. Imputation, very seldom. Again, this has no equal in the world. We're done. Go. Hey, I want the 10,000 pennies back. That's 100 bucks in pennies. I want it back for vacation Bible school for the boys' offering, so don't... Yeah, okay, all right. Do not give that to Eden. Yeah. Protect it with your life, because she'll come at you with all kinds of weapons and sob stories about, don't listen to her. But here is the positive thing of it. God's righteousness is imputed to them that believe. So my sins are carried by Christ. In the New Testament, best I could do, Len, one of Granddad's white shirts there. Put that bad boy on, buddy. And he gets a covering. He gets covering for that sin. And so when God looks on him, God sees his own son, own begotten son, Jesus Christ, righteousness. When you get saved, that load of sin was lifted off. And we should not live in sin. And we've been given the righteousness of God. So here's some scriptures. Genesis chapter 15. Abraham, he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Romans chapter, turn with me to Romans chapter 4, just a page back. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found. I'll let you sit down for just a second by Timothy there. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. But what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but there's no works, not baptism, not works, not works don't count. But to what? But believeth on him, Jesus Christ, that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. Christ lifts that load, God puts on a garment without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed, look at verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So Landon, come back up here. Here we got Landon. Now he's not carrying a load anymore, bro. No. And he is clothed in the righteousness of God. And so at the judgment, God sees the righteousness. Because who's got the sin? Christ bore my sin on Calvary's tree. Christ said, okay, sit down. Continue reading. Right? No, right here. I may be done. I may not. verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? Is it because I'm a Jew? Or upon the uncircumcision also? What we say? That faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision, when he had the covenant, when he blessed him and said, hey, I'm going to make of you a great nation? No, it was before then. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of what transpired, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that what? Believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be what? Imputed unto them also. And that's the positive side. And you can decide which side you're going to be on. Blessed is that man. As a result of having that righteousness, we have Romans chapter 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them. We are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? We sing about that. We have a song. Stand up with me. This is Landon's theme song. This is a theme song of the man that has come to Christ. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled it long ago. Amen. Long ago, down on my knees. Long ago, I settled it all. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, hallelujah, for the, what? For the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago. Here's where the world is, verse 2. The old account was large and growing every day. For I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled it long ago. When at the judgment bar I stand before the King, and he the book will open, he cannot find a thing. Then will my heart be glad, while tears of joy will flow, because I had it settled. I settled it long ago. You can't have a verse, a song like that, without an invitation. O sinner, seek the Lord. Repent of all your sin, for thus he hath commanded. If you should enter in, and then if you should live,
100 years below, up there, you'll not regret it. Thank you. You settled it long ago, down on my knees, long ago. I settled it all. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. My sin imputed to Jesus Christ. God's righteousness clothed upon me. Abraham believed God, it was counted to him unto righteousness. The Old Testament were clothed in righteousness. New Testament believers are given a garment, a wedding garment. What is that? That's the righteousness of God. And what about the man who did not have a wedding garment? He had not, his sin had not been imputed. He was not covered. Depart from me, ye wicked, into everlasting torment. Paul and Onesimus, the runaway slave, a wonderful example of imputation. As Paul said, listen, if there is any sin, put it on my account. That's what Christ did. If there is any sin, put it on my account. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account, for me, was settled long ago. You bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're carrying the weight, thousands of sins tonight, trying to bear the load on your own, without God, without hope. That's depressing. But there is hope in Jesus Christ. He'll take your sin, he'll bear the burden, he'll clothe you in the righteousness of God, and you can sing that song tonight. Just with the certainty that I have sung it. You're here tonight. You've never trusted Christ. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. Hold it up for a moment. Let's stand to our feet. Head bowed and eyes closed.